Alrighty, guys, welcome back to another episode. All right, here we go. So we're going to be leading on from the last episode, the series that we are filming, recording, I should say, well, filming and recording, is pretty much about me and the journey and just trying to give some of the new listeners a bit more of a backstory about myself, the business, my personal life, because like I like to preach, I'm an open book. I've got nothing to hide. So I've got Nick here today, same as the previous one. So he's going to be asking me some questions. And
quickly before we start this, if you haven't watched last week's episode, go watch it first. It was about Corey, his story, how we got into carpentry. Give you a lot more context leading into this one.
Yeah.
So anyways, Ideal Group Australia.
Yeah.
How did you start it? Why? When? All those questions.
So on this episode, I'm going to give you guys some untold stories, some untold things that I've probably never spoken to anyone else about other than probably my wife. Ideal Group and how it started. And I feel like a lot of guys have probably got a lot of questions about the name, how. In easy terms, I always knew that I wanted to do something. Mm. So I sort of preached on the last episode, I always had this thought that I wanted to be the superstar builder. When I started, there was all these guys popping off in Brisbane at the time. I don't need to name them. All the guys I know will know. But during that time, I would say it was the golden era for content in construction. You know, Instagram was firing. And I'd seen it all and I was envious. So I wanted that at a very young age. I wanted that. And I still remember, you know, that wasn't the driving force for me to start a business, but I knew I wanted to be in business, but I wanted to be like them. So, you know, the first thing that I did is, the business itself, I'll go right back. Here we go. So, as far as names go and how that all eventuated, you know, I was set on the idea. It was very easy. I want to start a business. That was it. How's it going to look? How profitable is it going to be? What are we going to do? That was all later. How was I going to get clients? Didn't fucking know. Did I have clients? No, I definitely didn't. Did I have someone that, close to me that had been in business? Yes. Was it super successful? No. But, you know, I took lessons from that. So, right in the early stage, Tamara was actually, I'd met Tamara. We were dating at the time. It was very, very fresh. And my old man had his own business, but at that point in time, he didn't have any office or it was just him. And I was doing a lot of the bookkeeping and a lot of the mob work. So at the time, because as I said, I started now to contract out myself. So I was subbing myself to every man and his dog for fucking anything, peanuts essentially. I was just hungry to get work. So I didn't have all the time in the world to do it. So I think Tamara at that time, I can't contextually remember what and when, but she was looking for work. So she actually was helping my old man out at that time. And doing my job and just helping with general sort of stuff. I was trying to actually dig up a fucking photo of her sitting in the home office that we had at the time. It was fucking.
If you can find it, send it. I'll put it on the video.
The setup, man. Like, I'll message her and find it out. But anyway, yeah. So she was just doing that, and I remember saying to her, like at the time, I was like, I want to do it. And then, we like everyone when they start a business, the name is usually the biggest thing. Yeah. Right? Anyone that starts a business, they all sit on the name. They all go, oh, fuck, what are we going to name it? What's it going to look like? What's the logo going to be, right? It's the most emphasized thing that you do because it's like buying a new car. It's fun, right? It's fun when you do it. So I remember, same thing. I was doing night school at the time. I was sitting in my ute the afternoon before I was just about to drive out to go to Spring Hill. And I was texting her and I just said, like, you know, obviously, like, I'm leaving now to go to school, da da da. I'm thinking about a name.
Yeah.
So what are you going? We were fucking throwing ideas out. Like, it was wild, some of the suggestions. I really like the name Palm. That I had this fucking logo drawn up with like a palm and then like all this shit. And it was, yeah, so like that. And then I was like, oh, maybe then, no, maybe not the hand. Maybe it could just be like a palm tree. And then, yeah, there was all these other things. And I knew for certain that I didn't want it to include my name. I didn't want it to be like fucking Corey Tompkins Construction or anything like that. That was just me personally. I just didn't want that. And yeah, I remember I literally text her, or she texts me. She'll probably say it was her fucking idea, but yeah, she just said like Ideal Group.
Mm.
And then it was Ideal Group, you know. She was studying interior design. So we thought the group could be tagged off as, you know, Ideal Group Interior Design, Ideal Builders, Ideal fucking this, Ideal that, Ideal this, Ideal that, and blah, blah, blah. And like anything, it was so exciting, right? So she was, we didn't pay anyone to do the fucking logo at the time. I'm pretty sure the logo that we've still got, we'd never actually paid anyone for. She just did like a little block letter thing, and we put a little blue, thing with a white outline, and we thought, yep, that's it, bang, yeah. And that was it. That was it. So we, I think it was originally, you know, we're Ideal Group Contractors now, but at that point in time, the old website used to have Ideal Builders and Ideal Interior Design.
Damn, I didn't even know that.
And that was, yeah, that was old. That was the old one. So that was the very, very first one that we ever built. And then, yeah, that was it, man. So I started out with that. As I said, I never had any clients. I can't even remember who I was subbing to at the time. It was heaps of guys, heaps of guys. I was working for guys doing renos. I was working for spec home guys. I was doing fit outs. I was doing form work in the valley. I was everything.
Yeah, just to get work.
Anything to get work.
Yeah.
You know? And I didn't really give a fuck about the price. You know, you want to do $5 less? No worries.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's where a lot of guys get fucked over too now.
Yeah.
Is they get so nosed up over the price. I'm not working for that. And then you wonder why you don't get any fucking clients.
Yeah.
Mate, you got to start somewhere. You know, you got to build your name up, you know. So that's essentially what I did.
So can you, when did Ideal get its first contract? Like, can you remember the path from subbing to you getting the main contract?
Yeah. So it wasn't a straight line in the sand. I was doing both. Yeah. I was balancing both. To start off with, there was a lot of bathrooms.
Yeah.
I think probably the one of the biggest jobs that I'd got personally that I'd won for myself was we did a carport extension, did a driveway. I don't know. It was like, I can't even remember what the price was at the time, but that was probably, and I still got the fucking video. All right. So this is what I did. So I won that job. And that was like the first one that I'd ever been like, holy fuck, like I'd actually won it. And it was for a lovely couple in Collin Park somewhere. And I can't remember how I got them. I think I dropped them a flyer, or it was through a real estate or something. And then, yeah, man, that was the very first one. And then I still, Tamara had to drive me up on a weekend, and I shot the testimonial. I don't even know if I'll feel comfortable putting this fucking thing up, but I shot the testimonial off my GoPro that I had at the time, and I clipped it in black and white, and I did it myself. So I went up there on a Saturday. I asked them. I said, hey, man, can I get a testimonial? It was an older couple too. Yeah. Lovely dude, lovely. Yeah, I shot it out on the balcony. The audio was trash because it was out in the wind. And, yeah, Tamara just sat in the car out on the street while I did this. And then that was it. And that was the end of the job. And, yeah, I thought, oh, yes, one testimonial, how great. Yeah. And I think I actually put it up. And then, yeah, that was it. So that was probably the first one that I'd ever thought, like, you know, this is actually something. You know, I put my name to just me, no one else. So yeah.
So what was Ideal like when you first like got that job moving forward? Was it just you? Did you have apprentice? Did you have other guys with you?
it was just me, and then we brought on one apprentice, so Jack. I think he's now a teacher or something.
He's been on here.
Yeah. He was the very first guy that I ever brought on. Man, and credit to him, dude. He stuck through it. He definitely stuck through it. And, you know, did he get a lot of shit at the end for changing industries? Yeah, he did. But, credit where credit's due. He definitely, as I said, I was still learning the ropes while I was there. He definitely stayed in the pocket for ages, and it was never a money thing or anything for him. He just fucking stayed in and got it done.
Yeah.
He did 4 years. There was nothing.
That's crazy.
So, you know, and he was older than me too. So, you know, imagine that. You know, you're working for a guy that's got a new business. You're older than him, but you're having to report to him. So, we did heaps of weird jobs, anything, everything that we did, you know.
What was, like, some of the biggest challenges early on? Was it like in the business? Was it trying to manage business and life?
I think I look back on it, and it's a similar sort of issues that we have now, but I think I've been able to have a bit more of an armor on me now.
Yeah.
But just similar sort of stuff that a lot of businesses go through, and I think that's what I've learned, is the challenges don't change. Similar things like learning, you know, what to do when you don't have work. You know, I used to go through fucking crazy amount of time. Like, you know, we run a team now of like, say, 20. I only had me, myself, and one other, and I used to fucking stress balls about being like, oh, what am I going to do for work? So that was probably one of the biggest challenges at the time, yeah.
So when did you decide, because it was Jack, his name, eh?
Yeah.
Like, what made you want to get your first employee, and then when did you decide, like, okay, I'm actually going to grow a team?
Dude, I actually didn't even want to. I had no ambition to actually get an apprentice. He actually came to us. Oh. So it was through a family friend. He literally rocked up the fucking site and just said, like, I want an apprenticeship, and worked for like free for like 2 weeks.
That's crazy.
Worked for free for 2 weeks and did, I think at the time he was working at a bar at night too. So he said to me that there was like two nights a week where he had to leave a little bit early because he had to get into the valley, and then he'd still be at site. He'd still work at 6:30 the next day. So he did that for like, I think, 2 months. And then he quit that job when he got his apprenticeship like fully into swing. I wasn't looking for guys. He just sort of come, and he was like, hey, I want a job. And I was like, this is what we do. And he's like, yeah, sweet. And that was it.
Was it just you two? He left and then you got someone else, or did you just have more people?
I got more guys. During his apprenticeship, we brought on more guys.
But like, throughout why, that time. If you didn't want to, like, what kept you pushing to?
Well, it was obviously, you know, like anything you get, we got to the point where we got bigger jobs, more opportunities.
Yeah.
You know, it's like anything. Like, we just, you know, if you swing the bat enough, you'll hit a home run. So I just stayed in the pocket for long enough. That was all. You know, like, I didn't win every job. I probably lost a shit ton of money, but I just stayed in there. The longer you stay in there and ferment, the better you'll be. So we just, you know, I started to win other work, bigger jobs, better jobs. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, fuck, I need someone else.
Yeah.
You know, and then obviously the thing of like, you know, I needed to live as well. So, you know, I can't get Jack to do it. Who's going to run this when I'm gone?
Yeah.
So then I actually employed my old man for a little bit there as well. I employed him. And then, yeah.
I guess what I'm trying to get at is what you just mentioned there. It's like that turning point of I guess when you look at a lot of like early on construction businesses, I mean, they are businesses, but a lot of them is like they pretty much just created a full-time job for themselves.
Exactly, yeah.
Whereas
exactly.
You just mentioned like, who's going to run it when I'm not there?
Yeah.
Like, how did you go from one to the other?
If we're talking turning moment, I feel like the big turning moment was when we won our first big renovation. That was it. And you guys want to talk about fake it to make it? Mate, I faked it to make it to get that job. I probably did that job for the client probably got my price and thought, this guy's fucking crazy. I reckon every other builder was probably charging 300-400 grand more than me. Rightfully so, though, right? I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. So everyone knows, though, the job was fucking fantastic. They got everything they asked for, plus more, and it turned out really well. But that was probably the big turning moment, is when I signed the contract for that, it was still only me and him, and I thought, all right, I need more guys.
Yeah.
And the question of, like, well, why did you do that? It's like anything. I was in business. I wanted to build the business.
Yeah.
And then I got in contact with some architects and met up with them, and then they put me in contact with some clients, and then, you know, it was like a slow burn thing, and then I won one. I was like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
You know, I bought banners, and I thought, oh, man, I made it. I made it, baby. And then, yeah, sure as shit, I didn't make it. It was, you know, I did that job for free, essentially. So, and like anything, I was still an employee to my business, like most people are.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a strong believer in that your business is not a business, you know, until it can run sufficiently without you.
Yeah.
And not just run, but be profitable.
Yeah.
Win work, price work, invoice work. That's really when it becomes its own living, breathing machine. And I think a lot of guys, where they get it mistaken, is they confuse it with, oh, I just do it to love it. Well, yeah, but I feel like as a business owner, you carry so much risk and so much stress.
Yeah.
You know, you should be doing it for more than that. You know, rightfully so, dude, because there's guys out there, the number twos, the number threes, that probably earn more than what you're paying yourself per year, that don't carry that stress. They get to go home in the afternoon and on weekends, and they don't get to carry that burden of, is money coming in, is money going out?
Yeah.
Because it's a big mindset shift. And I think that's what a lot of guys don't understand. When you're an employee, even a number two, you're talking the highest of high as a number two or a number three. You've got targets and quotas that you need to make. Yeah. But you don't carry the burden of them not being no money in the account. That's not the burden that you carry. And I think as business owners, as I matured in the spot and I started to realize, and same thing again, guys, like as I started to get around other guys too, that opened my eyes to that. It made me realize that, like, I carry so much risk and so much burden on my back. I should not build this thing for anything less than what I want it to give me. And what I want it to give me is to give me freedom. Otherwise, if I'm just going to be a slave to my own business and pay myself 120 grand a year, mate, I'll go and get 120 grand doing something else with a lot less stress. You know, and the people that argue, oh yeah, but you wouldn't know, like, the stress, mate, I'm telling you, it's not the same. It's not the same. You can't sit there and say that if you're the number two or number three, that you carry the same amount of stress as the guy that's number one.
Yeah.
Or that's running a business where he's supporting his family or he's supporting a bunch of staff. I'm telling you, I would be able to take that stress tomorrow. No worries. Easy done, mate. Because guess what happens? If that business fucking fails tomorrow, guess what happens to you? Absolutely nothing. You just go out there and get another fucking job. You'll be fine. No one's coming to you. No one's going to come take your house. You know, no one's going to come take your cars.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to happen. You're just going to lose your job. You're going to get a lovely little severance package, you know, terminate. Maybe they don't pay a little bit of your super, whatever. But then guess what? You wake up tomorrow, you could jump on Seek, you go for some more jobs, and in 3 months' time, you'll have another job. But if you're a business owner, you go out of business and you get fucked and it fails, everything comes crashing down, you lose your house, you know, with a massive bill. You fucking, you know, it's massive.
Yeah.
It's massive. So, you know, not only that, like, I'm not even talking the financial thing too. Like, we carry a lot of actual liability risk as well.
Yeah.
You know, in construction, if someone dies.
Yeah.
That's on us. So, I think as I matured and as I got around other guys and they exposed me to that, that was sort of the realization that I was like, okay, like, I need to stop fucking around. And actually build this thing to be a proper thing. And I don't want to just be an employee to my business because there's no fucking point. There's no point. But you have to earn the right. Your business, you have to do business good and be good at it. You know, because you're talking, there's very few people that get to have that luxury of doing that. So, but it's not easy. So.
Yeah, that's one thing I've noticed a lot. Like, not calling anyone out in particular, but just a lot of guests we've come through. It's like, I guess like this mindset a lot of people have. Is like if they're the owner, they feel like they need to be working 24/7 and they can't take time off. Where it's like, obviously, don't be cocky about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, you are you do have a lot of the risks.
Yeah.
So you should be able to take a Friday off early to go pick your son up from school.
Like, and I don't ever want to come off cocky about it. I don't ever want to do that. Yeah. I think, you know, as I said, you have to earn the right to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't have just woken up 2 years in business or a year in business and thought, fuck it. I'm going to travel for 4 months of the year and do that. Like, it's not, your business is going to fail. Like, you're going to fall on your ass. So I had to obviously work my ass out.
Yeah.
But I always knew that I was doing it for a bigger reason. And, you know, that's sort of what I'm meaning. When I see guys that say that, and I don't like to normalize the, you know, I think society praises and normalizes men in particular that work all day, every day. But I'm really trying to, even with my staff, right, even with a lot of the guys that I get, they got a lot of young families, I will actually push them more. If, mate, if their wife or their kids need them, go. Work is secondary. Fuck it. It doesn't matter. It literally doesn't matter. I don't care if I have to let a client down, I have to do anything. It doesn't matter. There'll be more building. Mate, the jobs will go on. Life will go on. And I think a lot of businesses get wrapped up in this, and business owners especially, is that they, you know, it's the be all and end all. And don't get me wrong, you need to have a different, like, I'm not saying fuck everything else, right? But when you really think about it and you really, really work it out down to its grassroots, what else really matters, dude?
Yeah. Like,
you know, if you're not doing the business to buy yourself back time to spend with your family or do things that you want to enjoy, as I said, I don't live on the water. I don't drive the most fanciest car. I live an hour and a half out of Brisbane. You know, I'm currently driving my wife's fucking $30,000 Havel. But still, dude, like, I live a fucking humble life. Like, I'm able to be off work on Friday. I'm able, but there's also stress that comes with that. Like, But I think society as a whole really praise men for doing it. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I don't praise men for working hard. I think it is very normal, and my father was just like that as well. But as I've been around the right guys and experienced what I've experienced, I feel like, you know, a lot of guys, this is going to sound a little bit fucked, but guys that work 70, 80 hours a week, I don't feel like they'd need to. If they live within their means and they, you know, maybe didn't buy that house, maybe didn't buy that car, maybe didn't, you know, do X, Y, and Z, you know, and had the talk with their partner about X, Y, and Z, they wouldn't have to work fucking 60, 70 hours a week and miss time with their kids.
Yeah.
Because it's not normal. It's not what needs to be normal. So I think if more people have more honest conversations with themselves and live within their means, like me, I live within my fucking means. That's it. That's why I don't work weekends. I could go out there right now and go and spend $500,000 on cars and go and live on the water in fucking Sanctuary Cove. But guess what would probably end up happening? I would have to probably work an extra 30 hours a week and miss out on family time. And that doesn't make sense to me. I would rather have the family time and work out other ways. You know, doesn't mean you don't want to work anymore. You do. I just genuinely deep down, I just want guys to be more present with their family and their kids and their partners and stuff. And just understand that you don't need to do 70 hours a week. At the start, yes, there are peaks and flows with that.
Yeah.
Right? You do need to put in the effort. I'm not saying don't put in the effort, but you need to honestly have to talk with yourself and ask yourself as to why. If you're still doing 70 hours a week, but you're not moving forward at all and you're just covering your bills, well, guess what that answers then? You're living outside your means, dude.
Yeah.
And everyone will sit there and say, oh, it's easy for you to fucking say, well, no, it's actually not, dude. It's actually not, because I'm a living example of it. I preach it and I do it. I'm not just fucking sitting here saying that, you know, you guys spend too much. Well, you probably fucking do. We work it out. I spend $150, $200 a week on groceries and I do not buy lunch. Quote me. Nick knows. He's been with me for nearly two fucking years.
Yeah, this guy eats the same.
How many times have you seen me buy lunch in 2 years?
I don't think I've ever seen you buy
Never.
Lunch.
Never.
He's the like the time, same two meals every
The only
day.
Time that Nick has ever seen me fucking have some meal that's outside of what I actually bring from home and cook is when we're out, like at a Christmas party.
Yeah.
Right? But that's my commitment. And I'm like, dude, like, I don't need to do that, you know?
Yeah.
And if everyone's like, oh, but it's a low, like, that's not going to make, no, it's not. But it's all the ones and twos, right? It's all the little things that all add up over time. So, you know, that's the, yeah.
Especially with getting into business, like, I think there's seasons of everything. There's going to be times where you have to push, but there's also times where you can chill. But at the end of it, it's like, I don't think there's anything wrong with admitting to yourself, like, I want to get into business to have a better lifestyle and strive for it.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's like you said, and what's the point of being in business? Just go work for someone.
And it's the same as jobs though, right? Yeah. I could argue the same mentality for people that are just like not even thinking about getting in business, but are thinking about taking on a job. The same for jobs.
Yeah.
You can get yourself, prime example, right? You could probably go out there right now and go and get a way better job, probably way better money, but you're probably going to be busting your ass, right? You're probably not going to be able to get the lifestyle that you want. So I feel when people are even applying for jobs and stuff, there is a fork in the road where you need enough money to live and enough money to save and enough money to do what you do. But you also want to have the lifestyle too. Like, and I think that's where a lot of people get misconstrued is it's like they want the $120,000 a year, but what does that actually entail, dude?
Yeah.
You know, what does that entail? You working every fucking Saturday. You're not seeing your kids in the morning or at night. You know, you're spending exactly 30 minutes with them in the afternoon. You take them out once every 3 months. You're fucking like, I just don't see that as being the thing. I think if you really get your shit together and in line and you find a job where you can get the lifestyle that you want, if you work out ways, and this is what I said about working out ways to make more money doing, you know, giving you the lifestyle that you want, you will work out ways. Might not happen straight away, but you will eventually work out a way, right? So, you know, that's my one piece of advice for guys that are even in jobs as well, is finding an employer that is, you know, has the values that you want in your mind. If you want, if your one value is just to make a shit ton of money, you need to go and find an employer that's their one value as well.
Yeah.
Because that, you know, that's essentially what you'll get. And I'm not saying you can't have both, because a lot of guys will say, oh, yeah, but you can. Well, you definitely can. But I think there's definitely one that's more important than the other.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my...
Anyways,
moving on.
The office. I don't know if we've announced it, but we're about to move offices soon.
Yes.
So what, this was your first office?
This was the first one. Well, yeah. First official.
Like first actual office outside of home. So like what was the driving factor to get here? And then, now we're about to expand into somewhere bigger.
I don't know. Should we save it for the next one?
Yeah, I think we should. that's actually a good place to end.
All right. We're going to end this one on the next one and you guys will see on the next episode. I'm going to tell you about the next plan that we got. Here we go.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's episode. If something hit home for you, it would mean the absolute world to us if you could like and share this podcast with someone else that would benefit from it. Tune into next week's episode as this will be one that you don't want to miss.